Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and the Lord. This is Apostle Deborah Deans and the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, and I am excited about today. We are having our study in the Word on tonight, and God is good. And I thank and praise Him for just another opportunity to come together for His Word. Hallelujah. I'm going to call our Bible study to open on tonight. I'm going to read a scripture, and pray. Shine on me, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me, shine on me, glory, shine on me. I wonder. If the lighthouse will shine on me, I heard the voice of Jesus. Come on to me and let's lie down thy weary one, lie down thy upon my breast, shine on me, glory, shine on me. If the lighthouse will shine on me. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 77. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest my eyes. Waking, I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast out forever, and will he be favorable no more? In his mercy, clinging gone from forever. Doeth this promise all forevermore? Have God forgotten to be gracious? Have he in anger shut up his tender mercy? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I have just read to you Psalms, from Psalm 77, from the first verse down to the 10th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come this evening humbly before your throne of grace, Lord. I'm asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come this evening, hallelujah, just thanking and praising you for another day. Just giving you praise and glory for another day. Just magnifying your name, Lord. Just thanking you on today. Hallelujah. First of all, Father, I ask you right now to bind up the strong man right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you today, Father, to bind up the strong man, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bind up every negative word, even every negative thought, every evil thought, every wicked, and demonic thought, in the name of Jesus. Every demon on assignment have been canceled in the name of Jesus. Every demon, hallelujah, on assignment have been canceled in the name of Jesus. Every demon, on assignment, your assignment has been canceled. I annihilate you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I dismantle and destroy you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I ask you right now to let me lay down my will on tonight. Let me lay it down, Lord, so the Holy Ghost can come 100% and I decrease 100% so the Holy Ghost can teach your people on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I have no knowledge of myself. The only knowledge I have is what you give me, Father, in the name of Jesus. I ask you tonight to take over and take control on tonight of this Bible class, the study in the Word. Father, you be the teacher, in the name of Jesus. I ask you to be the teacher, Lord. Be in control, Lord, tonight, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we'll be thankful and careful to give you all the praise on tonight, all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name, I pray and I ask it all. And for your glory, Father. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Just so thankful on this evening. I'm so thankful to the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he heard my cry. Hallelujah. I just thank him tonight. I thank God for being who he is in my life. Hallelujah. I just want to thank God for all of you that's on our radio broadcast and you in radio land. I give God praise for each one of you on tonight. I'm sorry for talking a little loud on tonight. I've been doing that lately. I don't know what's going on, but I want to make sure you hear me. We still in the book of Zechariah. I know it's been a while since I taught Bible class, hallelujah, the study in the Word, but we're going to start with, I guess we'll start at chapter 10. I think it's 11. Let me see. I'm going to start at chapter 10 just to go over because we're only going to chapter 13 in this. So it'll be over, the book will be over, and then God will give me what else to teach on. So we're going to go into the book of Zechariah. Hallelujah. And it's been such a long time. To me, that's how I feel about it. But just tell you a little bit about Zechariah. He is the author, Zechariah, father. Birchinen, they probably died when his son was young. making Zechariah the immediate successor of his grandfather, Adoah. Over in Nehemiah chapter 12 and 4, Adoah was a priest who returned from Babylon with Zerubbabel and Joshua, and was, according to tradition, a member of the great synagogue, the governing body of the Jews before the Sanhedrin council. The name Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. Zechariah, the name Zechariah means Yahweh remembers. This Zechariah was a contemporary of the prophet Haggai. So the background of this and purpose is during the reign of Cyrus, more than 50,000 Jews returned to Palestine from Babylonia in 538 B.C. They laid the foundation of the temple in 536, but opposition stalled the work for about 15 years. Darius, who came to the throne in 521, confirmed Cyrus' decree, and Zechariah, like Haggai, encouraged the people to finish the temple. In the Christology of the book of Zechariah, Zechariah predicted more about the Messiah than any other prophet except Isaiah. But he predicted a lot of things Zechariah did about the coming of the Lord. Prophecies concerning his coming include, I got a lot of scriptures here, and the prophecies to be fulfilled at his second coming includes a lot of other things. So, but we've been through a lot of that. We're going to start in chapter 10. I'm not seeing real good over here. I guess I don't want to leave this thing, but can't see real good over here. So I'm going to go back over there. So we're going to start with the theme of this chapter is Judah and Israel to be scattered and regathered. That's the theme of this chapter. Now, we've seen in chapter 9 the future deliverance of both the northern and the southern and northern kingdoms of Israel, and how God is going to use them in the future when they would serve actually as priests to the Gentile nation of the world. They are those who interpret chapter 10 as continuation of chapter 9. Some very fine Bible expositors feel, however, that only the first verse belongs to chapter 9, and I accept the verse, the view. The remainder of the chapter is separated, which we will see as we go along. The first verse says, "Acts, ye of the Lord, reign in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field." This verse, as we have seen, belongs to chapter 9, because that's what they was talking about. In chapter 9, they was talking about the last verse in chapter 9 says, "For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids." And they was talking about the contrast of his beauty, how he made the grass laid. He just manicured everything, and God can do all of that. The corn shall make the young men cheerful, and the new wine the maize, the new wine is not intoxicated. It hasn't had a chance to ferment. So what we have here is a reference to abundance of food, how he was blessing them too. There would be no famine or emergency shortage during Jesus' reign upon his earth. It would be a joyous time of plenty that would be on the characteristics of his kingdom. And that's here. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. The first verse, and they say it belongs to chapter 9, and it kind of does. The rain mentioned in this verse means exactly what it says, literally rain. God has promised Israel, who are an earthly people, earthly blessings. Rain is a blessing because when you plant seeds and food and stuff, that rain make it grow up. And it is an earthly blessing to the church. He has not promised earthly blessings, but spiritually blessed, spiritual blessings. The fall is spring. Rainfall is a very important part of Israel's temporal blessings and would make the land like the Garden of Eden. That's what I was saying. It's beautiful. In our day, it looks almost like the opposite because judgment has come upon the land as well as upon the people of Israel. The thing that denotes God's judgment is the withholding of the rain, because a lot of times when he hold it back, when we have 10 days of 100 degrees, sometimes it be judgment upon us. I would say that Israel's greatest problem next to the Arab problem is the water problem. How to get more water? Well, the best and the easiest thing for them would be to turn to God and experience the physical blessings, which would come through rain. But they have not returned to God, and the rain has not returned. See, rain is a blessing. So they praying and need rain, and they going to the wrong places for it. For the Father is our source and resource. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. And if they return to God, they would experience the physical blessings which will come through the rain, physical blessings. But they have not returned to God, and the rain has not returned. I've been told that the latter rains have returned to the land. They are getting more rainfall. That's true. But if you are there in late summer, you will see that the groves they have set out need rain and need it badly. There is not nearly enough water to irrigate the amount of land that needs to be irrigated. The latter rain, the spring rain, come during March and April. Although they do get some rain at that time, it is not nearly the amount of rain needed in the verse before. During the millennium, God would send them rain so that there would be plenty of grass for the stock and other animals. There would be plenty of rain for the crops and the trees which they would like to set out. The interpretation of these verses pertain to physical rain. Now the beginning with the verse 2, we have a turning back again to the subject of judgment. Although God intends to strengthen them for the last days and intends to bring them into the millennium, there are certain things which are radically wrong in their midst. He immediately put his finger down on what was wrong in Israel. The thing which what's really causing the trouble in the nation was idolatry. And we all know how Israel is in idolatry. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have said a lie and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Now, we in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 2. The idols have spoken vanity. The word of idols is actually Tephrim, teraphim. There were small household aculars, divinities, which are spoken of elsewhere in the scriptures. The Unger's Bible says, who is quite a Hebrew scholar, or come from a Hebrew scholar? I know people have the Unger's Bible. And the man who wrote that Hebrew's Bible, his last name is Unger, but it's the Unger's Bible. I have it here. He's written several books in the area of demonism in our days and also in the past. I am indebted to him for this because I got some of those books. It has a lot of information in those books, and I will be teaching from some of them, but not now. Some of those books, they found tablets which illustrate, and I guess that's why he got some of his stuff from customs, which went as far back as the patriarchs. You will recall that Jacob had trouble with the uncle Laban, for Rachel, and he left with his two wives, Leah and Rachel, and he was glad to leave, and Rachel actually took the teraphim for the home from the home of Laban and concealed them. Now, with the Nazu evidence, we know that the possession of those household gods implied leadership of the family. When she stole those gods, she was getting for her husband the right to his father's property. And the theft was very serious, was a very serious matter. But this explained why Laban was so wrought up over it. And he certainly didn't want Jacob to get his estate. He felt that Jacob had gotten more than he should have already. The second medium of this deception, a medium is a witch anyway, was used by the diviners. And the verse before us says that the diviners have seen a lie or envisioned a falsehood. Divination is a cut. Heathen imitation of biblical prophecy. The devil has always imitated that which was biblical. He never gets far from the Bible, and every one of the cups and the isms here in the southern part of Israel, and including Satan worshipers, uses the Bible. That is devil. That's the devil's method of deception, because we all know the devil know the Bible just like we know it. But he always changes just a little bit, and it deceives us if we're not paying attention to it. That's why I don't like to get a whole lot of different Bibles, because they was telling me that the one of those Bibles was written by an atheist. And so many people use it. I was talked to Apostle Joanne, and she was saying, I forgot the name of the Bible. I can't get it either. She was saying that she uses it. I told her she needed to get it out of her house because an atheist wrote that Bible, and he only wrote it for money. Because so many people And he just took the regular King James Bible and he put it into plain writing. And he's selling millions and millions of them. Millions of them, because I had one. I sure did. But if you don't know, like when a prophetess Sadler and her husband, Prophet Sadler, came into the Lord, I bought them an NIV Bible. And so they was just getting into God pretty good. And so I called them one day. I said, "What y'all doing?" They said, "We drinking a beer." I said, "Y'all ain't supposed to be drinking no beer. The Bible said we can." I said, "No, I don't." She said, "Yes, it do, Mama." I said, "Well, y'all got to show me this. It surely did say that they could drink beer." I said, "Y'all give me those Bibles. I am so sorry." Because I was giving them an NIV because it helps, it explains, it's clear. They were young and can understand. You know, it explained more to them. But you have to be careful what you studying. You got to be careful what you're reading out of, because it can give you the wrong, because there's so many different people that's writing Bibles. You know, what's his name? He got a Bible. Beyonce got a Bible. I forgot that boy's name. That his mama died from having, she had a cosmetic surgery and she died. He has a Bible. I guess it's about itself. I don't know what it's about, but he got a Bible. Beyonce got a Bible. None of the people have Bibles that they wrote for themselves and stuff. I don't understand it, how they can get a Bible, but they have Bibles. And you have to be very careful what you're looking at, guard those eye gates, what you're seeing, and what you're hearing, those ear gates, and what you're speaking, your mouth gate, because that's how stuff enter in. You have to be very careful what you say, because you can give demons legal rights to you. So you have to be very careful. And this is coming out of the book of Zechariah. "For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain, therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no more shepherd." There was no shepherd. See, when you have people now, a lot of people don't know what divination is, but divination is more so like you prophesying. You prophesying, you just thinking up stuff to tell people stuff so you can look good or, you know, or something. I don't know what the reason might be, but when you prophesying and you don't hear God say that or don't quicken your spirit up, whatever, you better watch out, because that's divination. It's divination. The Hebrew word for divination means to cut or divide. It had to do with the taking of a sacrificial animal, cutting it open and looking at its liver. The form of the liver and the way that it was shaped. This ancient form of divination was called hepatoscopy. It sounds like the medical term, and it seems to me that the doctor used a word like that in reference to my gallbladder. But the liver was considered to be the seat of the victim's life, and the shape of the liver supposedly told them that the shape of things to come. So they looking at a liver trying to read the future of things to come. What more divination? What is that? That's a lie and a falsehood. That's a lie. You can't look at no animal's liver and tell what the future's going to hold. That's crazy. But that was back in Zechariah. That one was going on. And that's why it was so much judgment and deception in Israel. The third verse says, my anger was kindled against the shepherd, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts have visited his flock, the house of Judah, and have made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Now, a lot of this, now I'm reading just what the verse says, but a lot of it is symbolic. Let me just, because it was saying something about the shepherd in the last verse, because there was no shepherd. When Israel rejected God's messenger and called in God's message, they fell in their obedience to God. As a result, they turned to all sorts of satanic deception. God said to them through Zechariah, the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie and have told false dreams, confident in vain. Therefore, they went their way as flock. They went troubled. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Israel no longer had a true shepherd to lead them. Sometimes, though, that happens. God will move the candlestick out the midst, especially when it's a lot of lying and divination and falsehood and all that different kind of mess. He'll remove his candlestick. He'll remove the shepherd. He will do it. And that verse 3, my anger was kindled against the shepherd, and I punished the goats, for the Lord of hosts have visited this his flock, the house of Judah, and have made them as his goodly horse in the battle. My anger was kindled against the shepherds. These shepherds were false prophets in Israel who had turned to the occult and had turned to the supernatural, which was satanic. And I punished the ghosts. God is calling the leaders of Israel the ghosts. That's why he said, I separate the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goat. For the Lord of hosts had visited his flock, the house of Judah, and had made them as his goodly horse in the battle. God, you see, intends to strengthen them against their enemies. God will strengthen you against your enemies. Now, last night we had an awesome prayer meeting on the broadcast. And when I tell you, I don't know what happened. I can't tell you what happened. All I know is the Holy Spirit took over. And when I tell you, my light, I usually pray and stuff on Thursday night in my bedroom. Excuse me. I was in the office because I had my laptop in the office. It was already set up, so I didn't want to take it loose to take it in the bedroom. When the Holy Ghost took me to a certain level, things got electrifying. When I tell you, it was the surge went through my house. My husband was downstairs. Apostle was downstairs. Apostle Joanne brought me home. Her and her husband was sitting here with Apostle. They said they was getting ready to leave here, because I was getting ready to get on the broadcast. So when I came upstairs, I thought they left. They was downstairs with Apostle. When we finished with our prayer meeting, when I was praying, my light went off here in the office. and the copy machine start making copies. I was like, what is that? And y'all heard me. I was saying, I don't care about the copy machine. But when I finished and got off the radio broadcast, I went downstairs. I said, honey, you okay? He said, I'm fine. And they said, we in here. They said the television had just came on. They were sitting downstairs in the dark because the whole house lights was off, went off. It wasn't nobody but this house now. It was some kind of surge went through the house. Apostle Joanne was saying she had, her stomach was on fire. She had fire in her belly. She said, I start to run up them steps. It was just the Holy Spirit. And he was, I was like one in the spirit, I guess. That's what I say I was. And I always was in the spirit when I prayed. But Satan was so upset about it. When I tell you he was upset to me, when I tell you I done seen 666 so many times today, you think I care? I went to the store, got me a Pepsi and a bag of corn curls and a pack of gum. And I got a pop-up bag of those soft ones. It added up to 666. The man looked at me. He said, what have you done to get this? I said, I didn't do nothing. I said, but if you want to, you can just take a dime so it could be 676. He said, I can't do you like that. I said, it doesn't matter. Because I'm not, and I've seen it on a license plate today. I was out. I'm saying, but you all know how it does, it do me, because when I was in St. Louis, it used to text me in. And when I push it, it would be 666. So I'm not afraid of nothing. I have no fear of the enemy, period. But I know this demonic thing been happening even way back in the Old Testament. Over in Zechariah, when you stand in for God, when you stand for him, you have to fight. When I tell you have to fight, you have to fight. When I tell you. But last night, it was something else. This house, it felt like, I was like, what? But I kept going. I just kept going. I kept praying. And I kept praying, and all of the stuff that was everything. Because when I pray, I wage war for my family, for my ministry, for my husband, for, you know, people, different people. And I pray against it. I pray against it, but it's alive and well over in Zechariah. It's alive and well, and the judgment of God came upon them. Because the shepherds and the leaders was doing divination. And that's why we got, because a lot of times people don't think they're doing divination. They don't think they do, but they do. You know, it's a bad thing. Verse 4 says, okay, the prophecy of the Messiah. Then he looked on the future when there will come the Messiah, and I believe he is clearly identified in the next verse. Verse 4 says, out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, out of him every oppressor together. Out of him, let me read it again. Out of him, this verse 4, out of him came forth the corner, out of him, the nail, out of him, the battle bow, out of him, every oppressor together. Out of him, out of whom? Out of the one who is coming. Tense is future. It means that from him shall come forth the corner, the cornerstone. As you know, a cornerstone is placed in a building structure where two walls meet at the 90-degree angle. The square cornerstone is fitted in there. This is a marvelous picture of Christ as the cornerstone, because you see, there was the wall of Judah and the wall of the 10 tribes. The message is that Christ will be the cornerstone to unite them and permanently bring them back together. However, the cornerstone has a wider meaning than this. It gives us another very wonderful picture. Notice what the prophet Isaiah has written about it. It says, "Therefore, thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Isaiah 28:16. Peter quotes this in his epistle and makes it clear that the cornerstone is Christ. And we all know that. The cornerstone is Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him should not be confounded." 1 Peter 2:6. Notice that Peter used the word confounded, while Isaiah had used the expression not make haste, meaning did not get in a hurry, did not get confused. They both are expressing the same thought. In these days in which we live, what is the answer to the occult, to the satanic? Well, in the first place, we should have nothing to do with it. We are not to meddle with it. Secondly, we should stay close to the word of God and close to the person of Christ. Here in Zechariah, note that immediately after he was warned against the occult, he introduces the cornerstone. We need not imagine that we are too intelligent to be deceived by the occult, because the devil is a deceiver. He's a liar. The Greeks in their day was very intelligent people, yet they made constant trips to Daphia. The way that the priests interpret the blowing of the leaves in that cave at Delphia would put the Greek army out to sea, or would take a man off his throne. It would change the course of history. If you think they were just following the superstitious, I think you are wrong. It's my conviction that the devil was using it to direct the Greek Empire. He was having a heyday. Frankly, I think it concerns me to hear of our leaders all over consulting fortune tellers, especially those that lead the country, and others who deal in the occult. I was just with Gigi earlier. I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I bind the strong man in the name of Jesus. I bind up the strong man in the name of Jesus. I bind you up right now in the name of Jesus. Her phone will stay connected. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you now, in the precious name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, to let our phone stay connected. In the name of Jesus, you have no power, no authority to control this radio broadcast. God has given me, and by the authority that he's given me, I send you back, I bind you and send you back to the pits of hell. In the name of Jesus, I bind you now from her telephone line. in the name of Jesus. Now you loose yourself from that line, hallelujah, and you go back to the pits of hell where you come from, because you're not feared on this radio broadcast, you're on that telephone line, in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus against you, and I wage war against you, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. You got to go, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I don't even know where I was, but I do know that, see, people think the enemy, see, because I'm exposing. Yes, I am. I'm exposing. See, we have to know that they're cunning and they're a deceiver. They are the father of lies from the very beginning. Even when he was in heaven, on down to the day after God kicked him out, even till now, hallelujah, deceive you. Just talk to you. He'll talk to you and tell you crazy stuff, stupid stuff, all kind of stuff. And if you keep listening to it, you'll begin to think it's your conscience. But when that stuff comes to your mind, to your ear, you cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that lifts itself up against the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what you have to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we should, when these things start happening, especially with the leaders in Washington and the world leaders, when they get to going to fortune tellers and different ones, getting counsel to run the country, the nation, something wrong. Oh, I was saying I was with Gigi earlier, and she was bringing me back from the store, and right in front of us, there was a Jeep on the back. It had a tire back there, and it had a cover over the tire. And it had a tarot card thing on there. And she said, that go to tarot card. I said, where? She said, on that tire. I said, well, give me some in front of it. Oh, it ain't going to do nothing to you, this and this. I said, Gigi, I don't know what you know about it, but I want to know about it. Just give me a rounding, because I know why I was sent there. And you know, and I told her. I said, get it from in front of me before God turn it, flip it over. Because I'm not playing. I'm not playing. So we have to have that determination. We got to have that determination, because believe me, if it's back here and they doing it in this book of Zechariah and all the books before Zechariah, and it's still happening today, look how long there's been people going through this kind of stuff. We have to learn to do better. And when you don't have saved leaders, when you have a lot of these folks that don't even believe in God sitting up in the White House and sitting in Congress, on the representative making legislation. What do you think? You have to stay close to God. It's time to stay close to him. And the next verse is verse 5. I'm not going. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight because the Lord is with them. The riders on horses shall be confounded. This refers to the very dark period of the Great Tribulation. God is going to undertake for his people and enable them to go through it, because at the close of the period of Christ, at the close of the period, Christ is going to come. I was using that in some of my dissertation on today, on this morning. Down through the years, when they have rejected Christ, of course, there has been no hope for them. There will be no hope for them. But when Titus, the Romans, was outside of the gate of Jerusalem in A.D. 70, and the walls came down, the city was destroyed, and the people of Israel were scattered through the world. It is the current belief of the several outstanding expositors that the nation of Israel is not now in the land permanently. I'm not sure, but what the accurate interpretation of the word of God is that they will again be put out of the land of Israel, and that subsequently God himself will return them to the land. And when God brings them back to the land, they won't have to have any trouble with the Arabs. Their neighbors will not try to exterminate them. Rather, when the Lord regather them, they will be there permanently and will be a blessing to the world. And that's what my husband always teaches, that the Jewish people are not there yet. In the word of God, it says, to those that think they Jews and are not, the Jews are not there. You know, they say they Jews, but the Bible says different. And when God is going to bring them back, I just feel like that. The remnant people, even the remnant, prophetic intercessors, he gathering them up now. He gathered them together. So we got to take in everything that we're going through. Believe me, some things we're going through is hard. It's very hard. But you got to still hold on to God's hand. Don't leave God. Don't leave him. Hold on to God. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you've been going through. I don't care what it feels like. Know that God knows his people. He knows who you are. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. He's not going to do that. Oh, we're going through some hard times, some hard things. But believe me, God got your back. He got your back. And I'm telling you, if you put your trust in the Lord, put your trust in him. That's what we have to do, put our trust in God. Be obedient to his word and do what he say do. That's what he wants you to do. So I'm going to stop right here because it's 8 o'clock, I think. And we're going to be right back here Sunday afternoon. It's not 8 yet. I can't even see my phone. But I guess it's about 5 minutes here. But then maybe we can talk a little longer. But this is trying times for people. This, you see the way the world is going. You see how things are happening. All people all over the internet and Facebook, Twittering and all that kind of stuff, what you call it, Twittering, stuff like that. We don't need that. God is not in a whole band of confusion. So we of this world. We in this world, but we're not of this world. We here, but we in God. A whole lot of this stuff is not going to affect us. It's not. It is not going to affect us, a whole lot of it. But we got to stay in tune with God. We cannot let this thing that's going on to distract us. We got to keep on going and doing what the Lord say do. We got to. Because that's what he called us to do. So anyway, I'm not going to hold and prolong the time, but Sunday at 3 o'clock Central and 4 o'clock Eastern time, we'll be back on for our Sunday evening services. We're going to be talking about, I think, forgive our debtors as we forgive our debtors. I almost got finished with it, but I had a page or two that I had written out that I didn't even touch. The Holy Spirit just went in and took over control. So I'm going to see what the Lord say. Do I continue on that or do I move on? Because we've been on the Lord's Prayer for about 3 or 4 months. And that's okay, because we need to know that it's a message in the prayer. And we'll be talking about the fifth petition. Amen. So we're going to get ready to close out. Father, indeed, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your word tonight, Lord. We thank you for the study of your word. Thank you for understanding tonight. We thank you, Lord, for clear transmission in the, through our radio broadcast. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that her call did not drop, not one more time. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for the ones that's in radio land. I thank you for each one of them and everyone that's on our radio broadcast. I ask you to keep everyone under the sound of my voice, covered in the shed blood of Jesus, and kept your angels all around about them to protect them from all hurt, harm, or danger. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. I thank you tonight for giving us our Redeemer. We thank you for Jesus on tonight. Father, we just thank you. We will be careful tonight and every other night to give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. You all are dismissed. God bless you all. You all have a blessed rest of the night. I love you, and God loves you too. You all have a blessed night. I love you.